This ain't no spineless jellyfish, milk toast, fence walking kind of thing, chummer. This truth is for real, and it's never ending. Coming to you straight to the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, the Anarchy and Podcasting Network, I, Opti, stand humbled by my own humility. And the outpouring of the world's secrets have now coalesced into this episode of the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Este es el número tres de los episodios especiales de Sociedades de la Temporada 2. Corporations may raise my ire right up, but the truth must be told. These episodes are the ones the rich and powerful do not want you to hear, and therefore, you must. Bundle up with some spice soy cider and sit right back to hear the tale of a corporation. I have here in my formerly deepweed-stained fingers the dossier which illuminates the darkness over the Evo Corporation. Here's the quick sheet. Evo Corporation is ranked number 6 on the Corporate Council, meaning they are 6th in the world in terms of power and assets. Evo has a pretty good name in the corporation biz. Don't get me wrong, their sunshine and rainbow shtick only goes so far. They are still a AAA mega corporation, after all. However, Evo does often fit the bill of the lesser of the evils. They do have a tendency to be very forward-thinking in their outlooks, especially considering that they have an orc as their president and a free spirit as their largest stockholder. They are an admittedly transhumanist organization that focuses on bioware, anti-aging, cyberware, and much more in order to take metahumanity to the next level of, wait for it, evolution. As if that weren't enough, they also happen to be the first megacorp to set up and maintain a base on Mars. They are also the mega that caters most to orcs, trolls, elves, dwarfs, changelings, and other non-humans. Evo's corporate slogan is Changing Life. The president of Evo is Yuri Shibanokuji. When he can be found, it is at Evo's headquarters in Vladivostok, Russia. Evo wasn't always Evo. Before its change around, Evo was the corporation known as Yamatetsu. That brand dates back to 2032, and carried with it all of the corporate machinations and cold-blooded backstabs that you associate with the Big Ten. In no small part, thanks to the evil, greedy ruthlessness of its leaders, it gained AAA status within the first 10 years of being founded, and then kind of went nutty from there. Yamatetsu decided it wasn't as racist as the other Eastern Corps were, and then they had a healthy infusion of leadership from a free spirit, combined with a freshly dead visionary founder and a move of HQ from Japan to Vladivostok, Russia, and that all coalesced into the slow death knell of Yamatetsu and the eventual birth of Evo. Yamatetsu chairman Yuri Shibunokuji, who happened to be an orc, was the main mover and shaker for this new face of the organization. He faced anti-metahuman bias within the company and the world at large, but had allies such as the Free Spirit Buttercup, also a member of the board, and Newton Chin, who was a brilliant investor and close friend of his father. He remained in the good graces of the Japanese, in spite of the move to Russia, by backing the new emperor and allowing CEO Saro Iwano to do PR cleanup. By the early 2060s, Shibunokuji has deeply and forcibly gained a leadership role of the corporation. Unfortunately, in 2064, Shibunokuji announced to the world that he had Methuselah syndrome, which caused rapid aging, particularly among the orcish population. This caused him to take a leave of absence from the corporation just at a crucial moment. That crucial moment was that Yamatetsu was joining the Pacific Prosperity Group, a controversial move that placed Yamatetsu in the crosshairs of other Japanese corporations. Of course, this wasn't discussed nearly as much as Shibunokuji's departure, which ended up being all the better for the corporation. A suspicious person might doubt this was a coincidence, especially after what happened next. The Matrix crash of 2064 left Yamatetsu reeling and trying desperately to control the damage. Vladivostok was cut off from the rest of the corporation, and the old guard moved in quick to reassert control. Newton Chin, one of Shibunokuji's top two allies, passed away at that same time, and left a void on the board. Thankfully, Chin left his shares of the corp to Shibunokuji, and along with Buttercup's shares, that pushed their alliance to over 51%. And so it was that Shibunokuji stepped back into leadership, blamed CEO Saru Iwano for the recent trouble, causing him to commit seppuku, and allowed Shibunokuji to become CEO and chairman. Shibunokuji then bought up troubled assets in the Pacific Prosperity Group for nearly nothing, and Yamatetsu emerged from the crash completely rejuvenated. Also, it should be noted that Shibunokuji himself was also completely rejuvenated. He went from suffering from Methuselahs to having rugged movie star looks and no sign of aging. Rumors of plastic surgery, lionization, cloning, packs with spirits, and magic have all been cited as sources for his remarkably quick and stunning recovery. Following the crash, lots of Shadowrunners found good money working the shadows against Yamatetsu board members until nearly every person replaced to the board because of scandal, retirement, firing, or mysterious death was a Shiba Nakuji supporter. Anatoly Kirilenko was named as the new CEO, and as a former Soviet Air Force colonel, he had experience in the spaceflight tech and lucrative military connections as well. Rumors, as well as the truth, attest to Kirilenko also having tight connections with the Russian Vori Mafia. Shortly after, in one of the world's first augmented reality advertising campaigns, Yamatetsu announced its rebranding as Evo, telling the world to evolve with Evo and making way for a brand new corporation with a seemingly brand new mission. Evo's new charter included terms against discrimination based on race or magical inclination, as well as a sort of anything-goes approach to citizenship. Although there were some complaints, Evo kept Yamatetsu's seat on the corporate court, and while expanding further into South Asia and Amazonia, they became the darlings of the Russian public as well. Evo grew profoundly strong following Crash 2.0, and in no small part to the corporation looking for strong leaders in diverse races and species that had been so long ignored at the top levels of other corporations. This has made Evo a media darling in many sectors, and they have been at the forefront of exploiting, mutually benefiting from the races they employ. Evo is in good position for growth and influence in the current era. They do biotech and medicine everywhere, that and they have the most serious and lucrative space program of any corps. Now, they've also accomplished this with a diversity uncommon in the sixth world, except, you know, on the streets. Evo is no slouch when it comes to production of goods worldwide. They might be known far and wide as BioWare and Cyberware, but they are much more than just limb upgrades. While Evo inherited its Cyberware division from Yamatetsu, and while many talking heads are claiming that Cyberware is quickly becoming yesterday's tech, it seems that Evo knows more than they are sharing because they are still aggressively and heavily investing in existing and new technologies in the Cyberware field. They have irons in the fire of nano-cybernetics, cybersuits, modular cyberlimbs, and they show no sign of slowing down. While Evo continues in the number one spot for cybernetics, in the field of BioWare, they are light years ahead of everyone else. Evo body shops and bioclinics are in nearly every sprawl in the world, and their sheer diversity and aesthetically pleasing body mods continue to appear on exponentially more metahumans. Evo can attribute some of its BioWare success to its orbital satellite factory, where it makes the majority of its BioWare. The biomass reactor can be cited as giving BioWare increased rates of growth, thereby handing Evo a huge leg up in the market that it already owns. Evo is not content with simply giving the sixth world the tech it already wants, however. Its BioWare division is experimenting with ever more fringe technology and even said to be developing bio-drones and interspecies customizable DNA. Evo also has a tremendous presence in the fledgling nanoware industry. It has been on the forefront of lowering nanoware costs and developing ever more practical uses for it. Evo's nanoforges make their various nanosectors possible, such as surgical applications, programmable housing using nanobots, implants, and various genetic modifications. Not to be overshadowed, Evo also has a very healthy gene tech sector. Its rival Omnitech focuses more on personal augmentation, while Evo has diversified in the gene tech field. It is possible, though unverified, that Shiba Nakuji's restoration can be attributed to major breakthroughs developed by Evo's gene tech unit, and has a virtual monopoly on anything based on heavy-duty DNA sequencing. Of course, no AAA corporation can get away without being more diversified than the average corp, and so with Evo. They have a sleek consumer electronics division as well as a major fashion line to back up their bottom line. Their popular branding makes all the difference in these areas, as well as their ability to hold the public's attention and bend the news to their will, following only as technology and horizon in that regard. Evo has also received a great deal of attention for their space program, which might as well be the only space program that is doing anything noteworthy. The impressive stuff going on in Evo is handled by the Roscosmos, their Russian space subsidiary, and the lion's share of the Russia's spaceports handle Evo tech exclusively. Evo maintains a plethora of satellites, 6 space stations, and 1 base on Mars. Yep, Mars. Not that there hasn't been any problems with that station, my sources are still updating me there, but that is still mighty impressive, at the risk of sounding a little starstruck. The term Evo has coined for its policy of attitudes and expectations among its employees is Evo culture. It goes beyond just policy, however, and is more like a way of life for those under its sway, including CEO and toilet cleaner alike. Evo culture lifts up the value of harmony between every sentient being. Corporate citizens and employees alike are valued based on their contributions to the corporation and its society, as well as their character. Even hints of intolerance, prejudice, or racism are pointed out and, well, shunned and punished. Like they were in some sort of cult, which, let's face it, all corporations are. Evo sets up all kinds of playdates for its citizens and employees in order to further Evo culture. They get bonuses or incentives to play sports or clubs or join leagues, etc. Lower wage earners can really supplement a base salary with some of those incentives, so it works like a charm, almost doubling certain annual wages. It also goes a long way towards breaking down barriers between orcs, hobgoblins, minotaurs, trolls, and the rest of the corporation. It may seem benign on the surface, but the pressure to be on all the time and never get out of the perfect Evo character is staggering, and Big Brother Evo is always watching. On a strictly corporate note, much of the traditional Japanese business attitudes have stuck with Evo since its Yamatetsu days, but a very healthy influx of Russian workers has made this corporation extremely efficient, but also somewhat fatalistic in terms of outlook, and the greater good outweighs the individual by a significant margin in the corporate scheme. Evo offers deep discounts to those within its sway that want Evo augmentations. This works itself out in that over 90% of Evo employees have upgraded their bodies with some sort of enhancement implant or another, pushing the boundaries of transhumanity within the corporation even more. Just a note, Evo looks terribly down on those who get augmented to the gills and then switch employers. They look terribly, terribly down on that. Evo's major corporate headquarters lie in three markets: Evo Asia, Evo Europe, and Evo North America. Evo has made tremendous inroads into China since the Crash 2.0 and maintains very significant influence in its native Japan. The Emperor, however, is far more cozy with Shiawase due to familial connections, and while they have maintained a friendly relationship, it seems that the Emperor no longer consults Buttercup on all important matters. In Europe, Evo's interests lie in the East. Evo has been struggling with Sutter Group and a few smaller corporations for control of the markets in Russia. While Evo definitely has the upper hand, they dare not let their guard down lest Lofvir swoop in and devour all they have built. North America remains incredibly lucrative for Evo as well. In fact, those of us in the shadows contribute more than our fair share to upgrading our bodies while lining Evo's pockets. Still, North America does just fine keeping Evo wealthy without us, and it seems that very recently Evo has locked down deals to move into the Pueblo Corporate Council and the Sioux Nation as well. Notable Evo subsidiaries include Crash Cart, their largest subsidiary, providing emergency medical assistance to rival Dockwagon; Meta Ergonomics, which is the leading manufacturer of goods and services geared towards dwarfs, trolls, and other minority metahumans; Metal and Metal Tribe, clothing manufacturers of staple fashions; Pensadine, providing bioware and genetic enhancements; and Yamatetsu Naval Technologies, a holdover from Evo's past and their primary military division. Now, lately, Evo has been pushing the boundaries of transhumanism farther than they have been pushed before. They are body-deep in trying to put out the world's first modular cyberlimbs, less invasive and more flexible than anything seen before. They are looking for ways to research and replicate the phenomenon of e-ghosts in the Matrix in order to preserve persons' awareness after death. They're on the cutting edge of universal language translators, and of course, they have a research facility on Mars, which is just about as secretive as anything can possibly be in our world. On a personal note, here's a little bit of a dirty secret. If given the choice, I'd rather work with Evo than virtually any other AAA corp. Why? For starters, for the most part, the Johnsons aren't jerks. They're laid back and cordial. It may not prevent them from double-crossing you, in fact, it won't, but they seem genuinely sorry when they do. And it happens less from them than most, at least in my experience. Second, they often like to barter before and after a job for less traditional payment options. Want some upgrades rather than new yen? How would you fancy some Yamatetsu weapons or prepaid Crash Cart contract? Cash is still king, but if you're being offered 2 to 3 times the cash value in non-monetary payment, it keeps the negotiations interesting for sure. They seem to be less racist than most other corps as well, and they've always treated my teams and my runners as people, whether or not they actually believed it. As it turns out, that wasn't such a blessing to my pal Scatterjunk. Scatterjunk was a decker I used to run with a few years in the late 60s. He also happened to be a ghoul. Our last run together was for Evo. EVO was the only corp that had no problems hiring old Scatterjunk. As it turns out, Junk was running the Matrix Overwatch for the team and ran afoul of some pretty serious black ice on the UCAS grid. My ghoul friend was using a loaner deck from EVO, and he was being paid extra to have his vitals monitored while decking as a part of EVO data mining experiment, or so we were told. Anyway, the black ice did him in, and while Crash Cart was on the scene pronto, he never recovered. 2 weeks later, I got a cryptic message on my comlink, using the passcode that only Scatterjunk and I knew about. The first message I received was asking me if I was safe and if the job went off as planned and when we were getting paid. The second was confused ramblings and strange warnings about being trapped in the Matrix. Both claimed to be from Scatterjunk. Both included references only he and I would know, and both included the passcode that only he and I knew. Both over 2 weeks after I knew Scatterjunk was killed. I haven't heard anything since, and I ain't making any accusations, but my OptiSense tells me that perhaps EVO is further along in its research on e-ghosts than they're letting on. Speaking of which, I know something that I'm not letting on either. It's time to close up shop on this episode because you have wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy in Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unaninium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your rebellious rogue radio star, Opti. Enjoy your freedom. Just don't change who you are to get it.